Welcome to Leaders and Legends on Jazzba 99.9 FM, high definition, 101.9 FM, and 1490 AM. We are today with Jeremy Robbins on the new American economy. On the heels of Alexander Hamilton, we just saw the movie The Deepak, the musical, and Jeremy's from New York. He's going to come in and talk about immigration reform. So, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve, and thank you for all your leadership on the immigration issue.
So for those of us joining, tell us a little bit about the new American economy. I'm a member, but for those just joining, it's a group of mayors and CEOs focused on economic benefits of immigration, correct?
Yeah, then Mike Bloomberg founded New American Economy 8.5 years ago out of the conceit that we need to change the immigration debate, right? That the immigration conversation in America has become completely polarized in a way that is not helpful to fixing the system and just simply out of touch with Americans. And you saw that really clearly in the recent election, where immigration was either about abolishing ICE or it was about MS-13 and gangs. And that's not what immigration is. And so New American Economy was started to start an economic conversation about how immigration impacts our economy and impacts our communities.
So to play devil's advocate, President Trump, when he says he's going to make America great again, it's this presumption that immigrants are taking our jobs. So what's the high-level comeback to people that even call me on the radio sometimes saying, well, keeping immigrants out saves our jobs? I mean, it's been proven. Economic data on your website shows that that's actually not true, correct?
Look, immigration is one of America's greatest competitive advantages. Ever since the founding of this country, we've had young, hardworking, risk-taking people coming here every generation. And you don't have to look far to see the impacts of that, right? You think about America's greatest companies, the ones that put us on the map all over the world, our Fortune 500 companies. 44% of them were founded by an immigrant or a child of immigrants. And that's going all the way back from Alexander Graham Bell and founding what became AT&T to the modern day Google behemoth and eBay and Intel. The reality is having young, hardworking, entrepreneurial people who have a different skill set and a diverse point of view come to our country has been a huge benefit to Americans and to America.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, many of the Fortune 500, we're going to give everyone a website so they can go look at this economic data. Jeremy and I are going to be working on getting around the state and a number of events starting in the new year. So where are we with immigration reform? We're going to talk about skilled immigration in a few minutes because I have a lot of tweets coming in talking about some bills on the floor that are being emerging into Congress. But we've got a President Trump, 2 more years in office. We have a Democratic House in Congress. We've had numerous attempts to pass immigration reform. Where do we stand right now? What needs to be done to finally bring a comprehensive immigration reform bill on the floor of the Congress?
That's a great question. I mean, we have never had, or we have not in years, had as good an opportunity to make progress on immigration as we do now, and for several reasons, and I'll tell you all. The Democratic House, when the House flipped, if you look at the 40 districts that flipped, in almost every single one of them, Republicans were running harshly anti-immigrant ads that got flat out rejected. Because in the communities that are determining the direction of the House of Representatives, they are increasingly well-educated and they are increasingly diverse. And those anti-immigrant ads simply didn't work. And when the Democrats came into the House, they have decided that immigration is going to be one of their top priorities. On the flip side, in the Senate, the incoming chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, a Republican, Lindsey Graham, has gone on the Sunday shows and said that immigration is his top priority, one of his top priorities that he thinks he can accomplish. You have the government about to shut down potentially next week over the issue. It is the defining existential issue of our time, right? There's all sorts of things happening on the border with people seeking asylum, with caravans coming in, with kids in cages that are forcing the discussion of what does border security mean? Who are we going to let in? At the same time, internally, you have groups like the Dreamers and people on temporary protected status who are losing their status and are going to have to leave. For companies and for employers, going unfilled, at the same time that our immigration system, our visa system to bring workers in who want to come here, who we may even be training in our universities, simply can't stay.
Yes, and there's also many new industries being created, new jobs in areas like artificial intelligence. I'm also in the tech sector, and so talent and skills that can, you know, fill those jobs where we need them. Before we get to skilled immigration, where do you stand on illegal immigrants? What does the new American economy say about people coming in not legally? There's got to be a better way of doing it than We recently in Morrisville had a deportation, an immigrant from ICE, a federal arrest. Our police department got involved. They said that he was a criminal, convicted criminal, but his only criminal act was he didn't fill out papers, and he came in without documents. His wife is sick. His son has lupus. He was just deported on Monday. But is it? What do we do?
That's a great question. I mean, I'll say this. Like, we absolutely have to take control of who comes to our country and doesn't. We are a nation of laws. We have to make sure that we are having people come here the right way. That said, there are millions of people who are here, the vast majority of whom are working, are following the law, and have been here now for years, if not decades. And we simply are not going to, nor should we, rip communities apart and send people home who have become contributing members of our society. So we have to think about what is a pragmatic, compassionate, realistic, and fair solution to say, look, how do we make sure, yes, our border is secure? How do we make sure, yes, employers are only hiring legally? How do we make sure when people are coming here, they're coming here the right way? Well, part of that is making sure that there is a right way to come here. Part of that is making sure that people who have been here have a way to earn the right to get on the right side of the law. And part of that is making sure that we have smart security to make sure that we're not back in this situation 10 years hence.
Yeah, so I think Senator Tillis, who I met a few weeks ago, said that a deal could be, you know, keeping the Dreamers in America, extending, you know, them to allow them to stay here, which would bring about $434 million to North Carolina's economy. Then, in addition, border security, technology, enforcing the laws, and at the same time, skilled immigration, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So really, the deal would be if Senator Graham and others could work with the president, perhaps they could arrive at a solution. President Trump did move away from the separation of families, so maybe he'll come to the center on this issue. Unless, you know, there's no solution in sight. So don't you think it's just going to be a matter of maneuvering and maybe the numbers will change this? The numbers
look,
in the
This is only going to get solved when people decide that this can't be a partisan issue and we need to work together, right? It is framed in a way right now as if Republicans are pro-border security and anti-illegal immigrant, and Democrats are pro-undocumented immigrant and anti-border security. That is not a helpful frame to have a discussion, nor is it true, right? There are plenty of Republicans who want a compassionate response that is fair to undocumented immigrants, and there are plenty of Democrats who believe in the idea of border security. What needs to happen to do this is we need to come together and say, look, absolutely, for people who are here who are not committing crimes and we're not going to deport, we don't put up the money, it would just tear families and communities apart if we did it. There should be a way for people to get right by the law. At the same time, we don't want to encourage people to come here illegally. So we need to make sure that when we do that, there is a legal way to come here and that we are making sure that people are doing that going forward. And you have to be, Americans have to be convinced that you believe in both. And the truth is Americans do want both.
And I think we're going to talk at the end about what we can do. So I think, you know, the goal here, folks, is comprehensive immigration. So let's talk skilled immigration for a minute. So we have today over 50,000 Asian Indian immigrants. Many of them are H-1B. Many of them have been waiting for the green cards for, you know, 10, 15 years. There's a group called GC Reforms that I've been working with around the United States. There's a chapter here. I want to thank them if they're listening. And we've been working on how do we address the green card backlog. Now, Congressman Raja Krishnamurti has sponsored House Bill 6794, it's called the Immigration Innovation Act. So a couple of these things does it. It reduces the cap on green cards. It eliminates, it provides education exemptions for PhDs in certain STEM industries. It enables H-1Bs to move between jobs. Spouses can work. It helps children. We're seeing some separation of children with H-1B paperwork not being done. And it also addresses this whole issue of worker training in America. So fees from the visas would go to invest in worker training and would not allow employers to replace U.S. workers with H-1B. So this is a pretty good bill. It's got broad bipartisan support. Still, the congressman before the elections could not get it out of the Rules Committee. But what is your take on this? I mean, is this it seems like all great ideas, right? I mean, in terms of the bill that Congressman Krishnamurti is bringing to attention.
Right. I mean, so here's the story. So the Immigration Innovation Act, the I-Squared Act, was first written by Senator Hatch from Utah several years ago. Yeah. It's gone through several iterations, and we have helped work on that and helped support almost every single one of them. I think the ideas in it are great ideas. The idea that we want to make sure that we're bringing in more innovators. We want to make sure, because smart people marry smart people, that their spouses can work. We want to make sure that we don't have arbitrary backlogs, that when someone comes in from India today and tries to get a green card, that they're not going to wait 70 or 100 years to get it. That is simply not feasible. And so for each of those, I think those are great ideas. The challenge that we face in this is that a lot of the champions for these bills have simply left Congress, right? So that bill was originally written in the Senate by Senator Orrin Hatch, who's not there anymore. There's a similar bill called the Staple Act that would staple a green card to every STEM grad when they get their graduate degree by Senator Flake. He's not in Congress anymore. There's something called the Skills Act by Daryl Issa. He's not in Congress anymore. There's something called the Fairness and High-Skilled Immigration Act, which would get rid of the arbitrary country caps, which disproportionately target people from India and China, or impact people from India and China. That was first written by Senator Jason Chaffetz from Utah, not in Congress, then picked up by, Representative Chaffetz, then picked up by Representative Kevin Yoder from Kansas, who just lost his election. I mean, the point is that we need to find champions who will push this through. These are good ideas. These are good ideas that should pass, that don't have very, very staunch opposition to the idea that we want high-skilled, smart people to come here and succeed. And so that's going to be our challenge in the new Congress, is finding the champions to push these through.
So if people are listening today, I mean, that, you know, do you believe, and we're almost done, but do you believe that we're being threatened by countries like Canada, Australia? I heard Australia has almost 30% of their population is immigrants. So they've actually got immigration laws that are more welcoming to these kinds of H-1Bs. So could it be possible that, you know, like Bob Young, who founded Red Hat, which got sold to IBM for $38 billion, well, if we don't streamline immigration, are those immigrants then just going to say, I'm going to leave and go to Canada, go to Australia, go to New Zealand? Is that true?
Those countries certainly think so. So recently Canada took out a billboard in Silicon Valley. The billboard said, having trouble getting your H-1B visa, come to Canada, you'll have your residency in months. Now, they're not saying, hey, we have the best environment, or hey, we have a great standard of living, or look, it's so beautiful here, our restaurants are so good, our schools are fabulous. They weren't saying any of those things. They were literally just saying, we know you want to go to America, but we know America's visa laws are so difficult, they're bungling it, so come here. And they're getting that, and that's a reality. You look at why places like Vancouver have become such big tech hubs, and that is absolutely in part because it's easier for people to get talent there. Canada and Australia have 2.5 and 3 times per capita the number of immigrants that we do, and they are using their immigration laws as a sword, as a magnet and as a sword to attract the best talent and steal it away from countries that want it. And that's a reality. I mean, America is the place people want to go. We still have the advantage that when people get to choose, this is where they come. But there are a lot of other good places to go, and especially when it comes to if you're coming with a spouse and your spouse can't work here, but you could go to Canada and you could both work, of course many people are going to make that choice.
Well, I think it addresses the global competitiveness of the economy and the fact that in order to create the next companies to harness innovation and global talent, you have to have immigration systems that have a common sense, pragmatic approach. And so, I mean, and the New American Economy is all about that. So over the next few months, Jeremy and the team and I are going to be working on what we can do to empower those of you listening for immigration reform, whether you're a business leader, a tech leader, an innovation leader, or even if you're on the side of DACA or illegal immigrants or refugees. What can we do to come together and have a common sense debate? Jeremy, where can my citizens go to drive this effort for immigration reform? What's the call to action right now? What do you want
to do? Well, I think the first thing is just to get informed, right? You want to know how to talk about this issue, want to know how to fight for this issue, and because facts do matter, even in a fact-free world. And so I think the place to start is we spent 2 years building a resource exactly for this purpose. It's called Map the Impact. So if you go to mapTheImpact.org, you can look for all 50 states, for the top 100 cities, for all 435 districts. We can tell you how immigration is impacting your community. Find out how many immigrants are there, how many businesses they've started, how much they're paying in taxes, how many homes they're buying. And then take that info and you can advocate, and we will certainly help people write op-eds, meet with members of Congress, speak out. This is a moment where we have an opportunity to actually do something on immigration, but it's a hard moment. You only have to look at the news to see what's happening on the border, and you see how inflammatory this issue is, to know that we're not going to win unless we are pushing, unless people are out there, unless they're advocating for themselves. And so I encourage people to get involved, to go to mapTheImpact.org to learn more about how immigration does impact your communities. And this is a great moment to speak out.
Well, in closing, we just want to map the impact, newamericaneconomy.org. Please go visit that. We're going to be doing a series of events in the new year. And as I said, Alexander Hamilton, sort of ironic, an immigrant who created the financial system that many immigrants were able to use to create the American dream and live out the American dream. And there's all kinds of data on their website. That's what got me motivated to learn more about them. And eventually, I became a member. The final thing I'll say is, just for those listening, before we let Jeremy go, I just want to remind everyone that the ICE arrest in Morrisville, the Research Triangle, was a federal arrest, that the Morrisville Police Department was not involved in the arrest. But it's led us to debate how we treat immigrants that are here, even if they're unlawfully. And I think it's raised a lot of debate about, are we being humane about immigrants? Somebody, you know, emailed me on Facebook, Jeremy, and they said, send it back in chains. And I remind to the American people that we don't want to send any human being back in chains, right? And we need to look at why are people fleeing? Some people, as I reminded, Albert Einstein was a refugee. Madeleine Albright was a refugee, went on to be Secretary of State, right? So it's a tough issue, but I think there's shades of gray. And I just wanted to get out there, Jeremy, for people listening, because that phone has been ringing off the hook the last week with press people calling me about this ICE arrest. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is, right? So. But we thank you for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. Have a wonderful weekend, yes. And thank you.